I sought out the writer Peter Manso earlier today at his home in Baltimore. Peter, you wrote a brilliant op-ed in the Times some months ago about married priests. A no-no in the Catholic Church, of course, but your father was one, is one. Met your mother in Dorchester years ago, had to leave the priesthood, but he's still married today and still a priest by his own lights. You're a devoted son, not an active Catholic. Your siblings aren't either, and you didn't baptize your kids. So this goes in my file of the infinite varieties of religious experience, the individuality, the courage, the discrimination that all kinds of people bring to their religious lives. And besides, you write like an angel on many fascinating subjects. I want to hear the story of how this new Pope Francis has registered on your heart and your history, your family.
Well, you might not be surprised, given that brief biography that you just shared about my parents, that when I was growing up, the Pope loomed large in my family's life. Obviously, this would have been Pope John Paul II. We didn't have a picture of him hanging in the kitchen as previous generations of Catholics might. But one of my earliest memories is actually going to see him drive by in Boston when he made his first visit to the United States in 1979. I would have been about 5 years old. And I can remember that it was a blustery fall day, and my mother bundled us up so we wouldn't get what she called Pope colds. And but just the feeling of euphoria of people five deep in the streets of Boston ready to watch Pope John Paul's car roll by. And that feeling of being part of something so vast and jubilant, that was what my parents wanted their children, myself and my brother and my sister, to understand about what being members of the Roman Catholic Church meant. And yet, the Pope was for me also a symbol of something else, something less welcoming. From an early age, I knew that my parents had once given their lives to the Church. As you mentioned, my father was ordained a priest. He was ordained by the Archdiocese of Boston in 1961. Around the same time, my mother took vows as a sister of St. Joseph and became a teaching sister in some of Boston's parochial schools.
They were my teaching nuns in the first three grades at the Sacred Heart School in Newton under Cardinal Cushing, if I may add. Go ahead.
That's right. My father was ordained by Cardinal Cushing, so just in that era. And so they were active. They gave their lives to the Church for a decade each until they met at a time of great turbulence in the Church in the wake of the Second Vatican Council. My mother, like many women who had become teaching sisters, so become nuns, decided to leave. That life was not for her. And my father, inspired by the Second Vatican Council, really thought the Church was changing and that soon priests would be allowed to marry, as priests of the Episcopal Church were. And so he decided to take the plunge and really become the test case for that. He wanted to know if a number of priests began to marry, would that force the Vatican's hand and start to change the rules? So my parents decided to marry in 1969. It was a big stir in Boston at the time. There was a headline in a number of papers that said, "Lowell priest marries Boston nun. Great scandal." And though it was the practice at the time, it was the expectation that if a priest left the priesthood to marry, he would relocate 500 miles at least from where anyone knew he was a priest in order to avoid giving scandal to the faithful, as they called it at the time. My parents decided to stay in and around Boston and to raise their family there because they wanted to show that they were not ashamed that they had given their lives to the Church, and they were also not ashamed that they were trying to change the Church through their actions. So I grew up both very much within the Church and also feeling that I was an outsider within it.
I was just going to say, Peter, I mean, how does it register on you to be so deeply in the Church culture and yet very formally, explicitly out of the ranks?
Well, my parents, really taking the long view of what the Church is, they did not see what they were doing as such a radical departure as much as it was a return to some original form of Christianity that they believed in. They believed that celibacy, the rule of celibacy, the exclusive rule of celibacy, I should say, was an aberration, that it was not meant to be within the Church, and they hoped to return it to its original state. And so they were insistent that they raise a good Catholic family. They wanted to show that people who had made the decisions they had made could raise a good Catholic family. And so we went to our local parishes, not only to our local parish in the town where I grew up, but also to a number of other parishes because they had so many friends who had stayed in. So we had to go to their friends' churches and keep up those connections. So we traveled all around Metro Boston going to various churches throughout my upbringing. But also we're very much involved in our local parish. Went to CCD, the catechetical education classes. And in those classes, I was often the kid with my hand up in the air because the volunteer teachers meant very well, of course, and they would give us lessons on why priests couldn't marry. And priests couldn't marry, they would explain, because they loved God so much they didn't have time to give to a wife and children. And my hand would shoot right up in the air. And I would say,
"Good for you."
I would say, "Well, sometimes priests get married. I know because I have one at home." might get me sent to the principal's office, but I think by then my case was known.
One of the fascinating things, Peter Manso, in your Times piece was your discovery that in Latin America, there's a kind of folk tradition, shall we say, of priests having wives, bishops even having wives. It's off the books in a way, but it's out in the open. And lots of people are ready to testify to the beauties of that world.
Oh, yes. Growing up, we had missionary friends who were involved in the missionary orders of the Catholic Church, and we would hear tales of them coming back that this was, if not the norm, it was certainly an understood part of Catholic reality there. And so South America, the church in South America was presented to us as this land where the rules might be a little less strict, and maybe this is what the future of Catholicism might look like.
So what is the test of your heart and mind on Pope Francis? I mean, what are you asking him to do? What are you hoping to do? I'm sorry. What would you want him to do? What do you hope he will do? Or does it matter? Is it sort of thing that anybody in the Manso family is going to make a choice about?
Well, in some ways, I don't have a horse in the race because I have made the decision that I am not going to raise my children as Catholics. And that is, I think that kind of decision in any family is a complicated one. For me, part of it has to do with the fact that though Pope Francis has made many wonderful statements about returning the church to its concern with the poor, which is certainly the type of the Catholicism that I was raised with, there are still the old Catholic hang-ups. The very idea that he has said that the ordination of women is a question that just cannot be asked. The door is closed on this, he said.
Right.
To me, as the father of daughters, that just tells me that this church continues, despite his lovely rhetoric about so many things, continues to think differently about one sex versus another sex, and continues to have this this problem, which is at its core.
Interestingly, he doesn't say the door is closed on married priests. He says that is not essential doctrine of the church, and it could change. He doesn't say it will, but it's different. Marriage in the priesthood is in a different category from women in the priesthood.
Exactly right. And my feeling with the issue of married priests is that the church likes to find ways to change and also to claim that it doesn't change. It is
right.
The eternal church, and so it needs to present itself as being always the same. And yet there are exceptions, more and more exceptions, for priests who are married and serving as Catholic priests. The priests who were serving in Anglican parishes, for example, in Anglican churches, can convert and become married priests. And this exception has been made for about the last 30 years or so. And so it begins to seem that the church is changing in that way. Whether or not he will, during his pontificate, make that further change, yeah. I don't believe he will. And as much as I said I don't have a horse in this race, I would, for the sake of my parents, for the sake of my father who's devoted his life to this cause, I would like to see him vindicated and to show that, for him to know that his life and the lives of so many men like him who have remained loyal to the church despite having this disagreement, I would like them to see some change in their own lifetimes.
I'd like it too, Peter Mann. So let me say, it's fascinating to me. You're the second person in 2 weeks in my long lifetime who's told exactly this story. His father not only is a priest who got married, but he says he's still a priest. He consecrates Mass at home every day. What's intriguing to me is just the flexibility that some people find in a rule-bound church to make their own rules and to live happily ever after, not in the state of terrible guilt or denial. They're just making it work on their own terms. It seems to me that's hugely American, or maybe universal, but to be celebrated.
Yes, you know, I think there are more of us than you would imagine, the sons and daughters of priests and nuns. In fact, I have a friend who is a priest, and he told me once that, a priest, I should say, of the same generation of my parents, and he told me once that he thought people like me represented the end of a mystery story, because back in the day when they were watching their priest and nun friends leaving to get married, the question was, well, what will happen? What will happen to their families? What will happen to their children? And now, as those children are becoming adults and beginning to have their own opinions about the church, I think we're finding out.
Yeah, and a lot of other people, meantime, gay people, divorced people, all sorts of mixed minds on all manner of things, are having to find their own way, despite what the church says, and finding a kind of peace and maybe the Spirit of the Lord in the process. I think that's marvelous.
The remarkable thing to me, and this is somewhat of a revelation as I reach middle age, is the attraction that that institutions have for people, especially the institutions of one's youth. Mm-hmm. The certain comfort of that feeling that I mentioned of watching the Pope drive by in Boston in 1979, the feeling of jubilation and belonging that only this kind of community can really give. And to a certain extent, that door is closed to me. I am not a believer in any conventional sense, and so could I even be a Catholic anymore? I don't know, but I do have that longing for that feeling I once had. And you asked where my head is with the current Pope, and I guess it is, he represents a kind of hope to many people that he will open up that door again to that kind of feeling.
Peter Manceau in Baltimore, thank you so much for joining us on Open Source.
My pleasure to be here. Thank you.